everybody, and welcome to In the Backseat. Today, I'm talking to Sean, my first business partner. The best way I can describe a business partnership is truly a marriage. Like, it is absolutely a marriage, except your kid is your business. So you have a living, breathing organism of a child to grow and take care of with another person. So Sean is my first husband, and I thoroughly enjoyed, no matter what it was, a peak or a valley or an in-between, I thoroughly enjoyed my experience going through business with Sean, because I think we both learned a lot from each other, because there's a learning opportunity in every situation. So Sean Miller is a strong human being. He's a strong man. He shows up very strong, which I love and I'm attracted to anyway. As far as people goes, he's outspoken. He'll speak his mind. He's focused. He's got this like laser focus on whatever he wants to achieve, and then he's organized about how he achieves it. So it's admirable for sure. I definitely admire the way he goes about, the way he takes care of himself, the way he values himself, and the way that he will achieve what he wants to achieve. I wanted to have Sean on, not so much to talk about our experience in business, but to talk about his experience in his current business, which is a barber shop studio in Point Breeze in Philly. Really cool space. He's heavily involved with his community, and I wanted to talk to him about how the quarantine has affected him, not only today, but how he sees it affecting him and the industry moving forward into the future. Obviously, this has been a topic that I've been covering with people, and Sean has a great way with words and stuff, and I really do admire him. And I've mentioned this before, he gave me one of the best quotes ever in my life when he told me one time, he's like, "All you got is you." And it really made me shift at the time. I was 23 when I was in business with him, and it really made me shift to start to remember that and focus on myself even more. So thank you, Sean, for that. I love you endlessly. You have become truly a brother to me for life, and I have never had a brother, so I'm happy and honored that it's you, and I cherish every moment that we shared. So without further ado, let's give Sean a call right now. He's drinking some tea and getting his voice ready for his debut, so let's do it.
Hello.
It's perfect. Perfect hello.
I'm like, am I on yet or what?
Yes, you're on. I keep everything.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
I just love the hello. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a great day. The sun is out. Mm-hmm. The weather's nice. Mm-hmm. I've already started my day trying to figure out if I want to go between coffee or tea or orange juice right now.
I told them that you were getting tea for your voice, so.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll just go with the tea then.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. I'm having a great day, actually.
Wow, I haven't heard your voice in a long time.
I know.
I kind of forgot what it sounds like.
I know. Me too with yours. I love your voice.
Oh, thanks. I kind of hate it sometimes, but I'm starting to like it as I get older.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. You're going to like this. Okay, so I just did your little intro, and then I'm going to set up right now what I want to talk to you about and the main question that I want to ask you. It's pretty straightforward and simple, but there's many different levels and emotions people are feeling right now. So I've been touching base with my friends in different industries and seeing how they've been affected. So my biggest question for you, two things. I want you to tell the listeners who you are, what you're about, what your business is, first and foremost. And then the main question I have for you is how this quarantine is affecting you on a personal level, on a business level, but especially in the industry, because we share a common industry. And then what lasting effects do you actually see happening from this? Because I've talked to many people in the industry, and I think some people think certain ways, some people are thinking differently. So I'm curious to see where you're at.
Okay. Can you run all those back to me after I answer each one of them?
Yeah. Intro you first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys know, my name is Sean Miller. I live in Philadelphia here. I am currently the owner of H. Smith Shop, which is in South Philly here. It is a barbershop for the most part. And we also have some space where we, you know, showcase different artists. We have a line of products, about three different products that we have. And it's just me and a part-time person right now. So I really have an appreciation for male grooming for the most part, but I think that is starting to go across the board to include anyone, male, female, non-conforming, whatever, to just focus on grooming in general. So that's kind of like what I'm into, which is why I have the space that I have and trying to incorporate different types of grooming. So again, different people. So that's pretty much what I do full-time right now. I've been home full-time because we're quarantined.
I also mentioned to them, too, like, your involvement in the community in the shop, like, you, that the fact that you're in your neighborhood you grew up with is super cool.
So the shop is in Point Breeze, which is in South Philly, which is the neighborhood I grew up in. I was born and raised here. I went to Millersville for college, and then after college, I moved to California. And actually, I guess another part is I had a career, I'm 35 now, for 10 plus years working in marketing and not even in cosmetology. And then as I, once I got to 30, I was like, I just wanted to do something different with my life. And I wanted to tap into my creative side a little bit more. And it goes back to that appreciation that I just have for like the barbershop, because I remember my first like haircut, but I don't remember what I did last week. So I kind of, you know, once I came back home, and I picked up barbering, once I moved back to Philly, I guess, and I picked up barbering as a trait and as a skill. One of the goals that I always had for myself was to basically open the shop that I have, but that style in the neighborhood that I lived in, because I saw that my neighborhood was changing, and I wanted to offer a service that I knew. I live in the same neighborhood that I grew up in, and I wanted to offer a service that a person like me would go and experience and enjoy, which I think I've been able to successfully do so far. So with that being said, it is in the community that I grew up in, and it is in a developing and gentrifying community. So one of the things that I really try to do is to, being a person that's from the community, really trying to help bridge those gaps there between people that have been in the community for forever, as well as people who are new and are moving, as well as with some of the development and stuff that's going on, and trying to get the neighborhood to a place that it could and should be. And not to say that, you know, to down talk what people have done prior, but it's just to say that I see more potential in the neighborhood. So being a young, seasoned person, if you will, from the neighborhood, I like to try to help and give back. So I'm the president of the business association, which is trying to like help bring business to the neighborhood and to help maintain our commercial corridor and just like to help with commerce in the community. And then through the shop, we just do our own, you know, we do a yearly giveaway where we, you know, give food. It's usually after Thanksgiving. Give food to the community, as well as clothes and shoes. And again, it's just I. One of the things that I've wanted to do with opening a business in the community that I grew up in is definitely like giving back where I can and when I can. So that's one of the things that I really try to do.
Through
the platform that we have.
And I can say coming to your opening was a really awesome experience for me, just to see how proud the neighborhood was of you. I talked to like multiple people that were just so excited about the shop and so excited about you being in the ownership position and so excited that Point Breeze was on the map in like a positive way. So it was really, really cool to speak to a few people there. It was. It's awesome. And I don't expect anything less than you than like incredibly hard work and like precision focus on a goal. I kind of said that in your intro. I was like, something that I definitely admire about him has always been the attention to detail, but the focus on a goal and then the steps like to get to that specific goal. You are very good at accomplishing those things. So it's like when you're clear on what you want to get, your direction to get there is very conscious and like thought out and completed, you know? So it's definitely, of course. And it's definitely cool a few years later after being married to you. I said you were my first husband in our intro. I was like, a business partnership is a marriage, and we're definitely in a marriage, and I cherish every moment of it. I feel like I've learned so much, you know, over the last few years, and it's just really, really, it feels good. It makes me extremely happy to see everything that you've done in the last couple years, so.
Oh, thanks.
Super, super cool. And I definitely, do you want to mention, did you mention the name at all?
Because I was. I think so.
Okay, I was just going to tell them to, like, follow your Instagram and check you out.
Well, you can follow our Instagram. It is at H. Smith Shop on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we're just H. Smith Shop, so you can Google us. It's www.hsmithshop.com. But you could Google us. You could Facebook us, H. Smith Shop. And then, again, on Instagram, it's at H. Smith Shop.
Yeah, really cool aesthetic, so definitely check all of that out. And then moving on to the current events, you mentioned obviously you're stuck inside, so am I. You know, let's focus on the business and the industry. Let's just go into that with how this quarantine obviously has immediately affected you, and then what do you think is going to happen in the future? But let's start with the effects right now.
So the effects... The effects, I think, in general, be it personally or be it professionally, for me, I think that this has really been a kind of a great moment for me. I've had nothing but time to think and nothing but time to organize and, you know, do some of the things that I needed to do business-wise, as well as some of the things that I needed to do on the personal level. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of time to just, like, figure things out. So that literally, I mean, that means like going through my email and like answering emails or doing all random administrative stuff that I need to do, as well as thinking about my business and how do I want it to grow and what do I want to do, etc. And the same thing goes for personal, like at home. I've been able to do a bunch of random projects that I have, so now I can, you know, think and figure things out other ways. I think for me, because I run such a small business, and I mean, you understand this, I am kind of one of the main talents at my business, as I like to say, it's really hard to figure things out while you're going. So the fact that I have literally, it's been what, a month and a half, 2 months where I can't do anything, but try to figure out and do things that I've wanted to do, but because I'm on from 11 to 8 or 9, I don't have the time to do it, and before or after, you know. So I think it's really given me a lot of time to think about, to get things done, that's number one, because the first few weeks was definitely like, I was like, all right, I'm doing all this stuff, so I did a bunch of stuff. After that, hold on a second, sorry. And then after that, it gave me the time, I think, to think about what I wanted out of life. It's actually pretty funny. So at the beginning, you know, like we were shut down. We had like 4 hours to shut, you know, you can't go to work tomorrow kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So those first 2 weeks, I was like, all right, cool. I got all this stuff I need to do. I'm going to figure out the best business plan to get my business running. I'm going to, you know, I'm started applying to all these different loans and, you know, doing all of that kind of different administrative stuff. And then there was like 2 weeks of, all right, I have to wait for that stuff to process. And in that time, I was like, you know, that's when I started to like, all right, now I've got most of the major stuff out of the way. Now I can like do other random things. And then, you know, we started to get that feedback about, you know, small businesses not getting loans or not getting grants and all that stuff. And that really at that moment started to reflect on what I wanted for myself out of life and where we were in this moment and where I'll be as a small business owner, you know, in this fight in the future, like whatever, like I'm never going to be a Shake Shack or I take that back. I won't say I'm never going to be that, but my, my intentions in life is not to be a Shake Shack type of corporation.
Can you explain, do you mean franchised and big?
Yeah. So I don't, in this, where I am sitting right now on April 29th, 2020, I don't, not right now, want to have a franchise business. I don't want to be this, you know, big kind of conglomerate kind of person, and not down talking that at all, just for me personally, what I want. But when I see that the place that our country is in, and our economy, I guess, and the need for help for businesses, especially small businesses, and to see where the help went with no problem, it made me think, like, okay, what am I doing here? Like, you know,
it's discouraging.
It's just, it's very discouraging for sure, because I mean, I could go into detail about it, but it is just very discouraging that when you are one person like me trying to run a business with an office in your house with a desk, and you know, you literally work every day to make money so that you can pay the next month, and you see these big corporations, it just put me in a space of like, okay, what do I want out of life, and how can, like, professionally, and how can I try to like figure that out? And I think I take that back. Even that goes aside from just these big corporations, but even down to like my landlord. Like, if you know, you're paying rent to someone, and I'm like talking, you same way, blood, sweat, and tears to pay somebody your rent every month, and you don't really get some type of flexibility or some type of relief in this situation. And I'm not talking free rent or anything, but just some type of help when they should understand as a small business what how your situation works. It really makes you want to reflect on, okay, do I want to be doing this, or do I, you know, it was very reflective, I think, because for me, I work hard for my money, you know, so the people that I give my money to is like, I want to make sure that there's a level of respect there, you know, so I say all that to say, all of this was a huge reflective moment for me, and a way for me to, you know, sit back and think of, you know, my life and where it's going and where I want to go personally and professionally, and how I'm going to do that and what that means for me moving forward in a post-COVID economy. Because, I mean, let's be real, the next 12 months are not going to be like it was in February.
No, nothing is going to be like it was again. Nothing's going to be the way it was before, you know?
So it's going to be, you know, it's just a moment of, you got to really, you know, really think of where I think this is the time that people should really be thinking about where they want their lives to go moving forward. Definitely personally, obviously, but super professionally, because, you know, you got to think. If you haven't been working in for 2 months and you might be behind on bills or whatever, and now you're going back to work in June, and you probably are going to have to go from taking 10 clients a day to 6 or 5.
You know,
it's just a repeat.
Right.
It's just, it could be bad for some people.
100%.
And not to say that should turn people off, but it's just I just started to think a lot. So, but I think at the end of the day, it was good, because you're saying, like, how has this been for me? I think that it's been good for me. I've been able to do a lot of thinking. I think I've been able to come up with a lot of plans for my life and ideas and things that I want to do. And got a little bit more clarity, I think, on my life's purpose and trying to definitely understand what success means to me.
Yeah. Now, real quick, I want to touch on, too, everything you just said, like, I want to think about if a potential business owner finds himself listening to this, or somebody who does own a business right now is listening to this. I think right now what we get to do and what Sean is doing is thinking creatively, but moving strategically forward. Like, you know, not going blind and going naively into the future. You're not going to have the same business you had before this happened. It's just not possible. I'm looking at Georgia. Georgia reopened a bunch of salons, and they have cosmetology state board information that went out, that the protocol of what you have to do. And these people are, you know, trying to follow it to a T. It's going to cut everyone's income down so much. So how can we get creative and move strategically, whether it's a change in location or what you need to do in the future to, you know, work with what you have?
I definitely you know, one of the things I thought about is downsizing some way, you know, because it's just not going to be the way it was for some time. So yeah, you got to be strategic. You know, if I'm bringing in less people now, just, you know, how does that work? It's a lot to think of.
And being, you know what, one of my friends said a quote before, and I use it all the time: be like water. Like, you just got to be like water. You know, because you'll die if you don't. I think the stress will kill you alone if you're not able to just kind of react to what's going on around us, you know?
I also think, though, that back to, like, the personal side of being reflective, I think that this will, or at least my hope is, I know, you know, for me, at least, again, on April 29th, is that people will really start to take a look at what's important to them, again, and, like, what does success mean? Because for me, I'll be candid here, one of the questions that I'm asking myself right now is, as a barber, and as a cosmetologist or a stylist or whatever, I feel like one of the things that we think the level of success is, or at least this is my interpretation of it, is to open a shop. Mm-hmm. That is like, that, okay, now you're, not that you're not successful prior to that, but that's like the pinnacle of success, yeah, or whatever, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I'm really starting to think, does that really mean that in a post-COVID economy? Mm-hmm. Does that mean, I mean, even prior to that, but again, just this whole reflective thing I'm thinking of for myself personally, is that what that means? Does the success of being a barber mean that you have to own a business or have a franchise business or whatever? Or can you be a successful barber just like doing your thing?
Right.
You know, like, and whatever that thing is.
Right.
Obviously you can be successful, but again, back to that whole reflective. For me, when I got into barbering, my initial thought was I wanted to do something creative and to use my hands more and, you know, do all that kind of stuff, make people happy and all those things that I do, which I still really do love. But back to all those things that I said prior and being reflective, I'm, you know, trying to understand what success means to me. And does success really mean being a business owner?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. You know, it doesn't, it might not mean that. It could mean something else.
Yeah.
So back to that being strategic and stuff like that, people have to be smart and, you know, be thinking. And if keeping this business open is not going to be the smartest thing for you, then you have to think of another way, because owning a business does not necessarily mean
immediate
you're
success.
Successful.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you don't have that, like if you were to have that, and I remember when I first opened, when we first opened our first business, mm-hmm. the first thing I would say to myself in my head all the time was, oh my God, I could never work for somebody else ever again.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be failure. Like that. But now it's like, who gives a shit? Hell yeah, I'll work for any, like now that I've worked for myself, I wouldn't have a problem working for someone else, or even just, you know, being able to function and freelance and do those other things.
Right.
But I think there is a thought there that if you're a business owner, or that's the pinnacle of success or getting to success, and then if you were to not be a business owner anymore,
that's not,
you know,
failure.
That there's some type of failure.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Exactly. And that's like,
that's gross.
And everything has a pro and a con, whether you want to look at it either which way. There's been times when I've been owning my own business and all I was craving was a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday, because I wanted structure and I wanted somebody else to be holding the reins. But then there's been moments where I'm literally crying for the fact that I wanted to take off a day and I was able to do it immediately without, you know, or like, you know, I have freedom in a sense with owning a business. So there's pluses and minuses, and, you know, totally having a, being sensitive to yourself and being empathetic for yourself right now is so important, because if you are a business owner right now and you do shut your doors, no, it does not equal failure. It could equal maybe the best decision you're making. You know, like do the best with what you can do with the cards that we have right now, because the cards are completely different than they ever were in life before, you know?
Yeah. So and I think it goes to not only the business aspect of it, but like, what do you really want?
Yeah. Yeah, you were getting on
to
purpose and then I stopped you. So totally get back onto that.
So, yeah, so then I'm just, you know, I was thinking a lot about, you know, my purpose and, like, what do I want? And I remember, and I don't know when this is going to air, I'm in the middle of thoughts and things and who knows what's going to happen, but whatever, I'll be candid. I remember when I first started cutting hair and when I first learned, and my goals in that moment, I think there was like twofold. One was definitely to open up a shop, because I knew that I could create what I've created, and I knew that I could make something that would make people want to come to it. And I think I've been very successful at doing that.
Yeah.
But I think on the other hand, there was all these other things that I wanted to do when I got into, you know, barbering. And I was like, I want to do fashion shows, and I want to be on a movie set, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And I think that for whatever reasons I got into business, some of that focus on myself as a business owner, and I think this is very important, it went away.
Uh-huh.
And my focus is on my business.
Okay.
Which
sometimes
versus is a little
what
bit
you wanted to do, you're saying like...
Versus what I wanted to do, which is... So I was like, oh, I want to open up a business and I want to create this space. That's one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also for myself, I wanted to be on movie sets. I wanted to, you know, do video shoot, like all these different things. I wanted to be able to travel, do all these things personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I decided that, okay, I'm cutting hair, things are good, you know, whatever is going on, I need to open up a business at this point. I opened up a business. All that traveling, all that kind of stuff.
Out the window. Yeah.
Out the window.
Yeah.
Because now my focus is on this business. Because number one, now I got to make sure that I have people there that, and I have to manage them and make sure that they can do the job that I need done so that clients are coming in. So you got to be there. It's like, it's focused. You got to, again, back to your intro of me probably, you have to focus on that thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, I can't focus on both where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. And that is without, you know, like I run a business by myself. I don't have a business partner. Mm-hmm. It's just me and a part-time person. So I think I'm not trying to say it's not doable, because if I had people and I had help, it would be doable for me. But right now it's, you know, really tough, because I'm noticing that my focus is all going towards my business.
Yeah, you can only expend so much energy somewhere, and then you don't have more left.
Yeah, you don't have any more left. Exactly. I'm spending all of my energy on making sure I hire people, make sure I keep people, make sure I bring people in, make sure, you know, make sure that the website is up. All that.
All the things, yeah.
All the things, and nothing on myself. And you know the one thing that they always say, I hear this all the time when I go to, you know, when there's some type of cosmetology focused business development thing, they always say you got to get from behind the chair and you got to work on your business, which is definitely true. I totally understand that. But once you do that, then you're not focusing on yourself as a stylist or as an artist.
Yeah.
Because now you're focusing on the shop. Yeah. So, hey, let's just say, and it's so funny because even the last few days when I've just been like thinking through this to myself, I was like, yo, like I want to learn so much about products. I definitely still want to learn how to cut like a long woman's hair or do like some women's styles, because I know it will help me be more successful and bring more money down the line.
Yeah.
But my brain does not have the energy or the bandwidth to bring on anything else learning wise when I'm trying to run something, you know? So it's that, and I talked to a successful barber here in the city the other day, because I was trying to find answers, and he said, you know, one of the things that he said to me, it stuck out so crazy, because I was like, wait, this is what I'm saying to myself in my head, but I didn't understand this. He was like, you have to make sure that your business does not like overshadow or you focus more on that than your career, unless you want to.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, you know, be the barber that's like, look, I want to run things and have people working, and
some
maybe
people,
I'm in a chair here and there.
Yeah,
and
some people
fine.
Own shops that aren't even barbers, and that's what they want to do.
Exactly.
You know?
Because that's what they want to do. But if you also want to be able to pursue a career in yourself and focus on yourself as an artist, it's not possible. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But it's just a lot more work, especially when you're doing it like one person, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing, back to this whole reflection, is me getting back to, okay, and I think other people should do this as well, in whatever industry, is, okay, what do I really want here? Do I want to own a business and have these roots planted here? And, you know, I have to really be focused on this to make it grow, obviously, and those roots are there.
Yeah.
And again, I'm talking for the small business owner like myself, because obviously people do this, you know, and they've got people that help them or whatever. Again, I'm by myself with a part-time worker, so I have to be there. Like, when I go on vacation, I'm still like, all right, how's business, you know? Mm-hmm. And I want to be in a place where I don't, you know, where I don't think that that's my focus. I want to focus on myself.
Yeah, and, you know, so for me, you're good. So just from I'm in the same boat where I've gone through this wave of first the business stuff, then the timing, and then, like, the ability to focus on what purpose is and what I really want to do. And I'm going to tie it into my purpose right now. Literally a couple weeks ago, I'm like laid down surrender to the fact that I truly think my purpose is to speak on God in a way that makes it a part of everyday life for people in a really casual, normal, like day-to-day way. So for instance, what you're talking about too with passion, anything that you're going to focus on yourself, it's going to be things that you want to light you up with passion, with joy, what makes you want to go to work, what makes you excited for you and also for the people that you're servicing or the products that you're making, because you know they're going to bring value. So on a very simple level, that is essentially working from and coming from a sense of God, a sense of fulfillment in high vibrating feelings like love and joy and passion. Passion, you know, attracts abundance in money. You're going to make money where you're passionate. So, you know, getting centered, getting more self-reflective and self-aware and sitting with this stillness that we have because we're not going to have it again, I think is the most important and crucial thing that we can all do to get centered on, yes, exactly, what is most important to me? And, you know, you might have a business in front of you that might not be there in front of you in a year or 6 months, and that's okay. You just got to get, you know, feel supported, feel loved in this journey, and know that you are at the center of everything. Like, I went through 8 weeks of hypnotherapy, and I did a episode this morning on therapy. But at the end of that hypnotherapy experience, I literally sat, oh my God, this woman's name's Dawn. She was amazing. And my last sentence to her, I was like, I am the universe. I get it. Like, this is, and she used to say to me, she's like, you know, this is the Kelsey Show, and that's okay. It's supposed to be the Kelsey Show. Because when you get centered with yourself, I do believe that there's goodness within us and we want to have impact. So in whatever way that means, that's better for the world to have impact. But yeah, it's like, I think totally, and it's not the easiest thing to self-reflect and find what makes you passionate. It's exciting though. Like, we get to have fun with it and figure out what that looks like and what that means for us. Because I think the rest will kind of fall into place, even though there's so much unknown stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, as things progress, we'll return to what is now a new normal. And the underlying reason and purpose of life to live in passion and love will never go away to me. So,
yeah,
I think we're on to something for sure.
Totally.
You know? It's good things, but what's up?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was the other question?
Really, just like, you know, how you see it affecting the industry, but I think we kind of answered it too with potential shops closing. Like, I think, you know, Philly is a very saturated market as far as businesses and in our industry with barbering and with hairstylists. And it can be because there is a need. There's a need for anybody who carves out a niche for them as an artist. I believe that. Like, I don't believe in competing with the person next to you. I just believe in truly competing with yourself and your skill set. But it's definitely a saturated market. I feel like for a few years when we opened and stuff, there was like shop after shop after shop after shop opening.
Yeah.
And that goes to your point of saying a lot of barbers and stylists, you feel like, you know, if you need to leave a situation and open up your own shop, you can do that. And, you know.
Yeah, but I think it also is like, I think that, again, that goes back to that. Maybe that's just for me personally, but I think a lot of people, especially like barbers, not all, because there are definitely a lot of very successful barbers that don't have their own shop. But again, that is just like the, you know, oh, you've been doing good. The next level is to open up a shop versus, no, why don't you go work with somebody else who got their stuff going on? Mm-hmm. You can probably be bringing in more, you know, like bringing in more money, but it's not that, you know, open shop. So when you go back to like, yes, there was a saturated market at one point, and I guess there could even still be depending where you are.
Yeah.
It's because everybody's like, oh, all right, I'm next level. It's time for me to open up a shop. Or again, some people are in certain situations that they have to because of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's pretty interesting. I don't know. I feel like if people don't have to close because of a financial issue or because they don't want to, I think our industry or the businesses in our industry might not be that bad off.
I believe except, I'm with again, you.
Like I said, for financial issues, because now, like, yeah, you're gonna have to if we open up June 1st, and let's say you got 2 months of back rent, and now you got to take 5 clients versus 10. Yeah, you're gonna be backed up. So that's a financial issue. But people are still going to. I mean, somebody asked me yesterday if I would do a house call, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, no. People so, like, are definitely gonna come out in droves. You know,
exactly, they're still gonna come out in droves to get their hair done and cut. But I think the issue is on the other end is what do business owners want to do? Do you want to have a moment where you're like, hey, do I want to do this anymore? Because if this stuff happens again, do I want to be dealing with the headache that I have right now as a business owner? Or people are going to say, I can't afford to even do this because
I made a comment too. I'm like, unfortunately, I think some people, even with the love in their heart and soul for this industry, might have to walk away without choice. Like, some people are going to be backed into a corner, and that just, you know, it's the nature. Well, unfortunate.
I was on a call last week, and someone said they knew at least two people that, you know, already went and got a different job.
Yeah, I know a few, and I know a salon that was in business for, like, over 30 years. That's done. Wow. It's pretty, yeah, it's...
Well, the sad part about the whole thing is that I think, you know, and this is one thing that I think is very important to me, outside of, you know, people can say what they want about the government locally and federally, and if they, you know, whatever the case is, and you can look at, you know, this loan situation and how the big businesses got those loans or whatever. At the end of the day, if the government wants businesses to support them and their need to stay closed and to, you know, mitigate this virus and stuff like that, they have to support businesses. Because if you do not do that, that is why you're going to have people with this whole let's open up shops back or go back to work. Or mm-hmm. there's a shop I saw on the news yesterday in Delaware County that's opening up. Like, yeah. And they, you know, they're trying to put these different things into play. But, and I felt, you know, on one foot, I'm like pissed at this woman for doing this as a business owner. But on the second foot, I was like, I understand it. Like, yeah. People got to eat. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, what do you expect? Everybody doesn't have, I'm so grateful for the situation that I am in. But if I wasn't, and there were other bills involved, I haven't gotten unemployment. We're a month, 2 months into this.
I'm with you.
You know, barely got any other money. So it's really tough for people to make these smart decisions and make people want to risk it all because they don't have, you know, the government offering help. And I'm not one that's like, oh, people need, like, give me a free handout because, mm-hmm. again, I'll go to work. Mm-hmm. But if you can't go to work, you have people that are doing things that are, you know, risking people's, you know, and I know they don't want to do that.
They don't want, of course,
and then,
of course
and
not.
At the end of the day, that's also going to possibly hurt their business. Because if this person is opening up now, let's say next week, do you think the smart client, or not smart, I take that back, but do you think the clients that might not want to go right now, mm-hmm. that would go when we just open back up, are going to want to go now? So they might even lose business.
I know. It's a
complicated because they're trying thing. To save business.
I know.
So it's just, you know, it's really messed up.
I know.
It's really messed up.
I think, like, to end us on a good high note, too, like, you know, it's a complicated issue. All I know is we are going to do everything we can on our side with sanitation, with, like, all the protocols that are going to come out to ensure that when we do open, we're opening safely. And I want to communicate that with clients as much as I humanly possibly can, but also understand how much of a obvious issue and threat this virus can be. You can't pinpoint if you're going to be getting it from where we're, you know, where we're working. We're just going to do literally everything we can to make sure that we're being safe. And for us as business owners and any business owners that are listening or people in the industry that are listening, 1,000%, the demand for us is high. And I think it shows as we've shut down and people do constantly reach out for cuts. And no, I'm not doing any, you know, but like people are constantly reaching out. People are definitely in need. People are jacking themselves up at home or doing the best they can at home and doing great, whatever. But, you know, this industry will always be in demand and there's always going to be in demand, you know, demand for artists who stand with pride in what they do in this industry. And so I do see a thriving future in the future. It's just like there's a lot of unknowns from now until then, you know?
Yeah, until we even know when we can go back to work, because then you can't assess anything.
So right. But what I do think that we'll have support and we'll be able to have, you know, clients at the door. So
that's... Definitely. I definitely think our clients will be, you know, there. I've definitely seen a lot of support even with being closed, like people, you know, curious, and that has like warmed my heart a bit. Like one day I think it made me cry, because clients are like, you know,
they care
and they're trying to help. It's and, like, I mean, clients are really helping,
right?
You know,
and that goes into like with being in this industry for as long as we have been now, like people really are at the core center of it. You know, the end result or the end thing has always been people for me, and enjoying people and getting to have relationships and building friendships with clients, you know, like strangers turn into friends, turn into like therapists, you know, for me and me for them. And it's been amazing. So when you take that out of the equation, it's tough because we miss you, you know, like we genuinely miss connecting with people because we like to connect to people, as it's just our nature in this industry. And if it wasn't your nature coming in, it becomes your nature because it's part of the job. So, you know, that's been tough as well. So we miss you probably as much as your hair misses us, you know. But do you have any final words before we hang up? Because I love this conversation. I'm so thankful that you came on here.
Oh, nice. No, not really. I just hope that everyone, you know, takes time after this or during this to really just, like, think about what you want in life. Because if one thing this hasn't taught you is just that tomorrow is not guaranteed. You might be on lockdown for months. So you might as well start. start living your life right now, and doing what you want and figuring out what you want for yourself and what is going to make you happy and what is going to make you successful, and you have to be the judge of that.
So
I think that's it.
I like that. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. It was good talking to you.
Yes, you too. I'll talk to you in a bit. All right.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so I think that last bit was really cool, too, to remind us to live with urgency. I know I've talked about death a lot. You could be dead, you could be locked in your house, but those types of scenarios and the scenario that we're in, I think, does a really good job of making sure that we live with urgency. We live right now, because right now is, like, all you got. And to quote Sean again, you is all you got. So focus on you, focus on what you want, focus on finding what's going to bring you the most joy and the most passion, and move strategically, creatively, and honestly, stay healthy and hopeful. And God is good, guys, and you are amazing, miraculous human beings who can make best with what you got. And I'm trailing because I don't know how to end a podcast. Listen, Sean, I love you so much. I truly do. I'm so thankful for you. If you are the only soul that listens to this, my heart will still be just as happy. So, all right, guys, I will catch you on the next episode of In the Backseat.